Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, we were discussing the trichotomy of man and the difference between the body, soul, and spirit. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And when the earth shall crumble,
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The spirit is the center of our, I might say, our inward man, where we make the great decisions of life. I have used with teenagers to kind of help them understand this. There's a difference between soul and spirit. Now, theologians like to ask, do you believe in the trichotomy or the dichotomy of man? Dichotomy means two. Soul and spirit then are the same thing. And then man, the flesh, the body, the flesh, okay? Trichotomist believes that a man is of a body, soul, and a spirit, which pretty well is what the Bible teaches, okay? So you might as well go with what the Bible teaches, although they would argue with that. The soul seems to be more of a seat of our emotion. It stirs the body in its emotion. It can stir the body right. If our soul is right, it can steer the body in its emotion right. People have cried at funerals. Nothing wrong with that. People have cried at weddings. Nothing wrong with that. People have laughed about funny things. They've smiled about nice things. They smile when they see that newborn baby. So that emotion, those things that come into it, the spirit's where you go to figure out the deep things of life. The flesh reacts to what the spirit or the soul directs. The flesh can become addicted to drugs, for an example, because the soul directed them to that. And then that desire gets so great that the flesh has got to have it, and the soul urges it. But when in our spirit, we make the deep contemplations of life, young man, this is where I use it with teenagers, can be seeing two girls that are really nice girls. The one is very beautiful, but she seems to also be a little bit stuck on herself, and, you know, it's her way or the highway, okay? And then there's this other one. She's not quite as pretty as the first one, but she is a good girl. And he's got to ask himself, which one would stick with me when things are bad? Which is the one that I would like to be the mother of my children? Now, he can think of that way, or he can think of this way. Boy, I would really be proud to be seen with her. Boy, she looks so pretty and good. Man, people think I was something, you know, and all this. Boy, if I had her, I'd be the top dog. I'd be this by that. Okay. Now he's thinking in his emotions, his soul. The guy that thinks about life, making it sad. We determine jobs that way. We determine places we're going to live. That so many things are determined in that inner man, the spirit. Now God is a spirit, yet he's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He spoke the worlds into existence. When man was created, it was for his pleasure. We could commune with him in spirit. God gave us that. But if you're going to be created in God's image, you also have a free will. And man had a free will when tempted to accept or reject. Jesus, when he was given a human spirit and soul and body, he was still God. But now he was the God-man. His spirit would be communing with God, and he knew from the very beginning. And so when we see that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, Jesus, Lord speaks of his deity. He was God come in the flesh. Jesus speaks of his humanity, the one that came to be the sacrifice for our sin. So again, that was 2,000 years ago, but he doesn't make you love him. You should want to love him for all he's done for us. We could go through all of that with the gospel and everything else, and to create this beautiful world for us. But you choose to love or reject him, to accept or reject, to love or not to love him so much, or just to go wild, to go against everything, to even take his name in vain. Now, he became a man, So his spirit has a free will. And since he was made in God's image, God's election took place before the foundation of the world. That's it. The cross, as we said a few minutes ago, was nearly 2,000 years ago. But election nor the blood is applied to our account until we receive him as our Lord and Savior. That's where the free will that's made in his image, a man has a spirit, that we make that decision when we're presented with the gospel and a man accepts or rejects. The depraved, a man can still say yes to the Savior or no to the Savior and receive Christ as his Savior. The Calvinist and others speak of death being dead and unable to respond. They like to use, and I've had several of them use this, of being in war or being in other things, and they said, you know, I was around many dead bodies. Not one of them ever responded to me. I could ask a question, and they would not respond. Oh, they could not feel. If I had leaned over and kissed them, they would not kiss back. Oh, they would not do this. If I said something nice, they wouldn't do it. If I said something funny, they wouldn't laugh. You see, they're dead. They couldn't. Well, he's talking about the body. He's talking about soul, but he's not talking about the spirit. That spirit was either in heaven or was in hell at that time. But the word means separation, the word death. So it's not necessarily when my body dies that death is then only a death. No, we're born dead, so to speak, because our spirits are separated from God until we receive Christ. So our spirit is made in God's image, but it doesn't leave this body. It body dies and God takes us out of this body. You know, it's Ecclesiastes says, returns to God. It returns to God. We're made in God's image, a spirit. So, what are we saying here? Because we've received him as our Savior, we know when this body is laying in a grave, or the moment this body closes its eyes in what we call death, and you were saved, then your spirit's going to heaven. You're with the Lord. Now, that's the etymology of the word death. It always meant separation. Adam did not die the very day he spoke to Christ in his body. His spirit was at that died in that it was separated from God, even though it was alive in his body. It was active in his body. So, the second Adam, Jesus, became a quickening spirit, life-giving spirit, to give life to that spirit that was already separated from God with a doom for eternity unless he got saved. Now, hell was created for the devil and his angels, which is his eternal punishment. God is sovereign, but within that construct, he also is, you know, I like the way they use some of these words, and they wanted to use the word construct, and just can't use normal words like, but in that construct, he allows us to make choices. He could stop all of our bad choices, of course, by right, by power. But if he did, then he would, we would not actually make no real choices. Okay, now you're talking about a depraved soul. He has wisdom to work the effect of all of our choices, okay? Now that's saying you're predestinated to do these things, even to sin. They think Satan was predestined to sin. They think that people that die in their sin were predestined to die in their sin. God may have known it, and he does know who would receive or reject him, but doesn't mean he makes him do that. So I answered, again, adding to the answers I've already given to him, because a lot of times the mind is closed to some things that you tell them truth. I said, God is not the author of sin nor confusion nor of evil. In Psalms 145:17 is clear that God is righteous in all his ways and in all his works. So if he created man to sin, that wouldn't be righteous. And if he made man a sinner without any chance, that wouldn't be holy. So free will of a fallen man shows him able to make a choice. But it does not, because he doesn't make the choice. But he does need to be presented the gospel. And we are commissioned, if you're saved, you are commissioned to present the gospel. So keep this in mind when you read Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God entrusts something to each believer to carry it out according to his will and for his glory. Being a witness for him is hard. It could bring ridicule, rejection from even family, and other problems. But you can also endure through Christ. You can be, you can endure, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. But with our best intentions, we must realize we still have an old nature. The warning from God is, be not deceived. And he said that to Christians. That's why Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says that we are to acknowledge him in all of our ways. We are also to seek his face. We are to seek his will. Lean not to my own understanding, see? But what? You turn unto him to direct your ways. So you've got to acknowledge him. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. So the directive guide for your free will, then, is right there in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So in closing, to love God and to receive him as Savior is not a robotic thing that you couldn't have any choice in because of the way things were arranged. No, God brought people because he wants you to be saved, but you have that free will to accept or reject. He didn't make you a robot that acts only on what he says. You are going to do this, Buster. Okay. So I hope that'll help you as well.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm path.